Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, your host.
Now let me ask you a question. What is the most powerful weapon in the world? Well, you may say nuke. Of course, a nuke is a very powerful weapon, and whoever the country has that weapon, nobody around that country can mess with that the country. But there is more dangerous and more powerful weapon that we all of us have. Do you know what that is? It's right here. Tongue. Tongue is so powerful, and it is very evil. And the chapter they're going to read is going to talk about that directly. But at the same time, we should know that the tongue can be used by God for His kingdom. So let's look at James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Please bring your Bible and open and do not close as we go through this word. So let's look at James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder everywhere, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body, and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. Amen. Amen. This is God's word. There are two kinds of tongues. The first one is a tongue, the fire from hell. Now the second one, the other one is tongue, the fire from heaven. Tongue, the fire from hell, will destroy everyone. But the tongue, fire from heaven, the tongue, fire from the Holy Spirit, will save people. There is a heaven and hell difference. Now, what kind of tongue do you have? Do you have a tongue from hell? Or do you have a tongue, the fire from the Holy Spirit from heaven? Now, we'll see how the tongue of hell looks like. And also, we're going to see how the tongue from heaven, tongue from the Holy Spirit, looks like. Very, very important. It's a powerful message from the Word of God. So I'm continually praying in my spirit that you would understand and you will obey His word, and that you can see the transformation and the wonderful power of God that will happen through your tongue for God's kingdom. So let's go back to verse 1 and let's jump in what it means. Let's look at verses 1 through 2. It says, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well." Isn't it interesting? The Bible opens up in this way, that do not try to become teachers. Does that mean that we should not become teacher at all? We should not become pastor at all? Wow, then I'm in big trouble because I'm already pastor and teacher, right? I should not teach you right now. I'm in the wrong place. Does that really mean? Well, this verse really means that you need to be careful what you teach. Because if you teach wrong, or if you do not live up to your teaching, you will have a more severe, stricter judgment. That's what it says. You know, Ezra chapter 7:10, Ezra made a decision to study the word, obey it, and teach it. It's a very important process because study, obey, teach. Study, obey, teach. Which means that before he teach, he obeys what he says. So without obedience, he's not going to teach. But a lot of teachers these days, they skip that important part. They do not really go through obedience and they just teach right away. So 1 Corinthians 4:15, 16 says, the Paul says, there are so many teachers, but not many fathers. But I am your spiritual father. Through the gospel, I gave you birth. He was talking to the church. So the Paul was not just teaching, but he was loving his flock, his congregation. But a lot of teachers, without loving, without obedience to God, without love for the church, they were just teaching. They were just conveying information which does not lead to transformation. So even if what they say is true, but it doesn't really have a lot of power in it, and then it's not going to make any impact. But the problem to the teachers is they're going to have a judgment, stricter judgment. So that's why earlier I said I am super nervous, not because of speaking itself, but because of the judgment. What if I speak something that I will be accountable before God, that God at the last day, what if God judges me on that? That's a scary thing. So we have to be very careful about what you speak, right? Book of James is an amazing book, but especially it gives a stricter limitation, warning about speaking, speaking and the tongue and using our mouth. So let's go more about what it really says. And then it's very interesting because it uses analogy, so I don't really have to come up with another analogy. Let's look at verses 3 through 5. It says, now if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. So he uses the horse as an example. Horse is a big and strong animal, but once you have the bits into their mouth, it will be controlled. You can control the horse, right? Verse 4, look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. It makes sense, right? Ship is big, but there's one pilot, and then it can direct everything the ship is heading to. Now, just like that, verse 5, so also the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it boasts of great things. Yes, just because it's small, we will never ever despise the impact, the power of that small little tongue. Now, the next example is a horrific example. Look at verse 6. Let's skip the last part of verse 5. Let's see that. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. Let me read this one more time. In the last part of verse 5. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. Yes, forest is big and huge, but one fire, one little fire can spread out and destroy the whole forest. And verse 6 says, and the tongue is a fire. The very world of iniquity, the tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and set on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. Our tongue is like a fire from hell that even though it's very small, but it can destroy everything. Now, as I'm speaking this, I'm very saddened because we see this now. The small fire destroys the whole forest, not just the forest, but the residential area in the western part of the United States. It's devastating. Yesterday, I was looking at the news and I just could not believe what I saw. the whole region of California and Oregon and Washington State, and it's just the air. We cannot really see the clear air at all, and a lot of people lost their lives and they're still suffering. The small fire did that. So can we just pray right now for them? Let's pray. Father, we're so devastated by the wildfire in the western part of United States. Father, please help. Please help them, Lord. Please help us. Please help the firefighters and all the people who are working so hard day and night to deal with this issue. Father, please give them strength and wisdom. And also we pray for the families who lost their loved ones through this fire, Lord. Father, please comfort them. Father, please. Oh, Father, please help them, Lord. We thank you. Praise you in Jesus' name. We prayed. Amen. Amen. Yes, we need to continue to pray for them. It is really devastating. And this small fire can spread so fast, and then it can destroy all. Well, not to mention the fire, we see the example of coronavirus. It started with the one person, right? And then now within how many months has been? Maybe 6 or 7 months? And then it's global. And right now, every day, there are 300,000 people confirmed with coronavirus. It's just unbelievable. That one little thing, even we cannot even see what it's, I mean, we cannot even see in our physical eyes, but the power and impact is just phenomenal. And is the disastrous. So we should never, ever underestimate the power of the small little evil that can spread out every place. Now, tongue is the same way. It's a small thing, but when you say it in a wrong way, it can impact so many people around you, not just you, but a lot of people. It's a disastrous. Last year, I went to a camping trip to a ocean area, and I saw different families were coming in, and one family arrived, and I don't know the family, but they were arguing in the car. I could hear their loud voice, and the mom was saying to her children, "And what do you think you are doing, Rao? Just get up and help me." Well, that itself is a very casual conversation, but the mom was yelling so sharply toward her children, and I can still remember. And I went to a soccer game, and there was a children's soccer game. How cute they are, right? But there was a one father who was so serious into the game, and his son's team was losing, and his son made a huge mistake. And then out of nowhere, this father was yelling and screaming at his son, calling his name, and then he was asking a question. Say, "What are you thinking?" I mean, there was a question, but everyone there, including myself, became silent. We just lost the words. It was so obvious that the father was angry and his son was so devastated. We could see from his face. I remember when I was in Korea, every Korean male should serve in the army. So I was not an exception. I went to serve in the army. And in the training period, I still remember, I don't remember any other words, but one, the superior came to me and he said, "Hey, do you have poop in your brain?" I don't even remember what the context was, but that one sentence still remains in my brain. And I still remember that. It impacted me so much. But when you say those type of words towards someone, the impact is not just the individual, but the impact can be also communal. It can spread like a wildfire. And in the media, you see a lot of celebrities receive some positive, but also not so positive, bad hatred, hate comments in their social media. And some of them got impacted by that so much, and they commit suicide. They kill themselves just because of that. And then why? Because The rumor spreads like a wildfire, and not just in the United States, but in Asia, Africa, everywhere, people got to know about this celeb, about his or her personal affair, and then they all accuse that person. How can a person handle that pressure? You know what I mean? So the rumor and bad words and all of them can spread like a wildfire. The impact is unbelievably huge. So this little tongue can destroy 20 years of marriage. It can destroy 50 years of father and son and mother and daughter relationship. And it can even destroy the relationship between country and country. It can go globally. The impact is huge. Do not ever estimate the power of your little tongue. The tongue, the fire from hell, is that powerful. So what should we do about it? You know, there's nothing we can do, really, because verses 7 and 8, it's even more disappointing, because it says we cannot control the tongue. Look at verses 7 and 8. It says, "For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison." Wow. Wow. The bottom line is this. We, human race, we cannot tame our tongue. I have a little dog. His name is Oreo. He's a Shih Tzu. And when we bought him, he was only a month and a half old. And he was just restless. He peed and pooped everywhere. Now he is almost 6 months old. He is a good boy now. He is almost potty trained, I think about 98%, right? Sometimes he makes a mistake, but it's largely because we human make a mistake. But he's becoming a really good boy. And I realized that, you know, it works. He is tameable, even though he is not human, but he listens to us and he obeys us. So yeah, we tame them. But this tiny tongue says it cannot be tamed. How disappointing it is. The Bible clearly says that. And then verse 9 and 10, verse 9, it says, "With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God." Wow. This impactful and a powerful tongue, you know, cannot be tamed. And then it says the two different things. One way we say, "Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord, we give thanks and honor to the Lord." On the other hand, it says we curse our brothers and sisters who are created in the image of God. Now, we see the very similar picture in the previous chapter, chapter 2, verse 19. You know, even demons know God is one and they shudder, right? It's almost like a worship, that they believe that God is one and they worship the one and only true God. But only thing is, they do not obey God. They disobey God. So you see that there is a difference between their belief and their action. Do not match. Here, it's also demonic that you worship God, but you curse other people. It does not match each other. Through your mouth, you're speaking the two different message. It's a very, very scary thing. Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, Jesus warned that if you say to your friends or to your brothers and sisters, "foolish," you will go to hell. Wow, that's a very strict, straightforward and direct speech. But you see how many times we call our people, our friends, our even family members, foolish, stupid, and silly. Of course, it can be a jokingly mean, but we have to be very careful with what we say. Because the Bible clearly says, literally it says, if you call someone foolish, you will go to hell. So you have to watch what you say with your mouth. Now, verse 10 says, From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. This means You cannot say two things from your mouth. You cannot say praising and cursing at the same time, because there's a reason. Verses 11 and 12, it makes sense. It says, does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can a salt water produce fresh. It makes totally sense. If it's a fig tree, it will produce figs. If it's an olive tree, it will produce olive. It's a scientific fact. But how can you say two things out of the same mouth? If you bless and bless, and if you curse and curse, one or the other, you cannot do both. Now, if you have tongue from hell, then you're cursing and cursing, right? But if your mouth is the tongue from heaven, if your tongue is from the Holy Spirit, the fire from the Holy Spirit, then you should praise the Lord, period. You should not curse other people. So that's why we need to make sure what kind of tongue we have, what kind of tongue you have. Do you have a tongue from hell, or do you have tongue from heaven? Now, so how can we have the tongue from heaven? We already saw in this passage how impactful, how mighty power the tongue from hell has to destroy people. It's like a wildfire. It can destroy everyone, not just one person, but it can destroy everyone. And we see that Satan has the tongue from hell, and it deceives with a small lie, very small, attractive, reasonable lie. But because of that, Adam and Eve sinned, and because of that, all of us are doomed, basically, because of that little lie. So we have to be very discerning what tongue we have. Now, we are going to look at tongue from heaven, tongue from the Holy Spirit. We know that our tongue needs to be changed. Our tongue needs to be transformed, but we already know it is not tameable. So how can we change it? We need to be changed by the Holy Spirit. Again, if you are not born again by the Holy Spirit, I want to ask you today to come to Jesus Christ, because the only way that you can be changed, it is only by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus came to die for your sin, and He rose from the dead to give you eternal life. And that is the gospel message that you need to believe today. And come to Jesus, turn away from your sin, and you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and your tongue will be changed from inside out. So the tongue would be a fire from the Holy Spirit. Now, speaking of which, how, why, what we should do about this, the tongue from the Holy Spirit, tongue from the heaven. First of all, we need to repent. We need to turn away from our sin. By the way, the tongue from heaven, tongue from fire, we see that picture in the book of Acts chapter 2, when 120 people, after Jesus died and rose again, and Jesus promised that, you know, I will send you a gift. And then the 120 people believed that, and they prayed together until they received. And then they received it. In Acts chapter 2, they received the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit came upon them, it was like a fire of tongue. Right? So they received the tongue, and they began to speak the word of God through their tongues, the life-changing, transforming message through their tongue. But around that time, when they spoke the word of God, the people were so devastated with their sins, because their sins were exposed by the Holy Spirit, and they turned away from their sins. They repented of their sins, and they also received the Holy Spirit. So that's the cycle that we see here in the book of Acts and on. So that should happen in your life as well. Now, you are a Christian. So you're perfect? No. We make mistakes as well. And many times we make mistake with our tongue again. And when you do that, you need to repent. You need to turn away from that sin as well. And I want to make a confession to you. I want to be very honest with you. Just because I'm preaching through YouTube doesn't mean that I have to hide everything. I'm very vulnerable, and I want to be open as if I'm sitting with you in a coffee shop and just talking as brother, as a brother in Christ. So this morning, I was talking to my wife, Debbie, and she's not a morning person. I'm a morning person. I love to wake up early in the morning, and I get most of things done in the morning. But my wife has a totally different personality, I was a little bit worried about her health, because she was this morning, not every time, but this morning she was waking up little late, and she was not really exercising these days. So I was genuinely concerned about her. But I told her this morning and say, you should wake up more early, and you should concern about your health, and you should do more exercise. That's what I said. I think the message is okay. However, the way how I said was not right, because I spoke up. I was loud. I was louder than I should be. And then it was not good. And my wife was hurt by that. So this morning, after a few minutes later, I realized that I was wrong. The way how I spoke was not right. So I went to her and said, I'm so sorry. And I want to say in front of all of you, I want to say again, Debbie, I am sorry about how I said. You know, this is an example. But also, this true story, by the way, this is not something I made up. I really did that. And I'm really sorry about that. But if you made a mistake like I did, maybe you intended well, but at that time you upset about something, about your child, about your spouse, about your relatives, about your friend, about your coworker, and you said in a way that could hurt that person, and you realized that, and you saw that person's face, and you knew exactly that this person was not happy, and you realized that you hurt that person. If you know that, I want to encourage you to apologize, and not just before God, but also before that person. So go to that person today, or even tonight, or even this week. If you cannot meet in person, send an email, send a text message, and call that person and say, sincerely apologize, because even if you meant well, but the way you say could hurt that person, if that person was hurt, it could cause that person stumble, and it can be sin to you. So you need to make a sincere apology for that person. Again, the power of the tongue is so amazing, and it can destroy everything. It can destroy 20 years of marriage, 50 years of father and son relationship, right? So it's a powerful, you have to be very careful. You need to guard your tongue very carefully. So every time when you speak, you need to pray first. Some people say, think before you speak. I want to say, pray before you speak. Again, pray before you speak, which means you have to pray every day, every time. Otherwise, you can make mistake, as I did. And it can hurt and destroy everything. So pray, pray, pray. Now, when you get up and when you upset, when you are angry, I want to say this, do not speak. Again, when you get angry, do not speak. Instead, pray and go to sleep. Or pray and pray and pray until you have peace from God. And when you have peace from God, then you can speak. It makes a whole difference. Even if you say the same sentence, it can mean different to that person. I was genuinely concerned for my wife, but the way I said was offensive to her, right? So always pray before you speak. Second, our words must be the words of edification. We need to speak to edify, to grow together for the kingdom of God. Because Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let the unwholesome speech proceed out of your mouth. Instead, only the word of edification in time of need, so it may give grace to those who hear." Now, striking thing is the previous verses, which is verses 22 to 24, it talks about putting off your old self and putting on the new self, which is the born again. Now, if you're born again, your action, your life changes. It's definitely aligned with the book of James, because if you have a faith, you have a perfect faith, which is proven by your action. That includes how you speak as well. So the change that you will have is your habit of speech. That instead of hurting people, that you will be encouraging people. Instead of destroying people, you will be developing people through the word of edification that comes from the Holy Spirit. That's how you see the change and transform even in your tongue. That you are not taming your tongue, but the Holy Spirit is taming and controlling your tongue to grow other people. The word of God is so powerful. Word can destroy the whole people, whole humanity, but also word can save people. That's how God works, because God created the world with what? His word. And Jesus is the word of God. He is the word. He is God. So God has the word who creates. The God has word who can save, who can build. And we need that. You and I need that. So the word of edification, that is what we need to do. And thirdly, we need to speak with gentleness. Gentleness. Because Proverbs 15:1 says, "Gentle answer can calm the wrath." So it's very important, not only you pray before you speak, when you're angry, you need to pray so you can calm down and you can speak with gentleness. But when you speak gently, the other people can calm down as well. Because it's not just you, but when you have someone who is angry at you, then what happens? You'll be angry as well too. So all of them will be angry people, and they will fight and they will destroy one another. It should not be. But you need to start with you first. You need to speak gently, calm down, and your calmness will calm the other person so that you will have a first really nice conversation. And your relationship can be restored because of that, right? So gentleness, so the self-control is so important. And also 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24, 25 also says, "Treat everyone with gentleness, because even your opponents, treat them with gentleness, because God can turn them around. God can make them repent from their sin." So your gentleness, your calmness can lead some people to Jesus Christ through repentance. What a great power of gentleness in your speech. I need to learn more gentleness, because as you can see, I lift up my voice many times. I got so passionate. But when you especially talk with someone, one-on-one or one-two groups or whatever the situation is, learn this gentleness. And speak with the gentleness that come from the Lord Jesus Christ. Then thirdly, you need to speak based on or filled with the Holy Spirit. Of course, this tongue, the fire from the Holy Spirit. So it is your foundation is the Holy Spirit, the way and the source. Your source of his speech is the Holy Spirit himself. Because Matthew 10:20, it is not us speaking, but it is the Holy Spirit speaking through us from the Father, God the Father. So the Holy Spirit is really the one who speaks through you. And also 2 Samuel chapter 23:2 It says, the Holy Spirit speaks through me, and the word of God is in my tongue. That's what David's confession was. How wonderful it is. And that's my prayer. That's my prayer for you as well. The tongue is untamable and tongue is full of evil, but Holy Spirit is in you, speaking through you, and the word of God is on your tongue. So whatever you say is the word of God that can save and that can edify and that can build his people for his kingdom, that can even rebuke the people in God's love. So you need to speak in Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit speak through you. And then everything will be solved. Just leave it up to the Lord and let him speak through you. And that's my prayer right now, that what I speak is not my words, but what I speak to be his word, so that the Holy Spirit can speak to you right now as you're hearing, so that your life would be changed. And that's my constant prayer. That's my constant desire as well. And then, so when you say, okay, that sounds all good. It's all gentleness and building. And what about rebuke? The Holy Spirit rebuke, right? And yes, he does. And also in the 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the beautiful verse about the word of God. The word of God is suitable, fitting for growing us to be more like that, more like him. And one of the four characters, the equipping tools that he uses is rebuke. Yes, the word of God is rebuking us in his way. But here's the thing. In Ephesians chapter 4, 15 says, speak the truth in love. Yes, if somebody is doing wrong, if someone is sinning, we should not be gentle in a way, but we should rebuke. But even when you rebuke, you should not rebuke with anger, but you should rebuke in love. There's a heaven and hell difference. There, you need to rebuke gently in his love and leave it up to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit will guard your tongue and use your tongue for his glory. I know a pastor who served in the Eastern Carolina, and every time he preached on hell, and everyone was crying and people were coming to Jesus, but he retired and the next pastor came and he did the same thing. He preached hell every week, but the people began to complain. Why are you speaking like that? And then this pastor said, I just did the same thing that your former pastor did. And then they said, oh yes, that's right, the message sounds similar. However, the way you speak is different, because the former pastor, whenever he spoke about the hell, he cried, because we realized that he really loved us. But you don't care about us. You see the difference. Speak the truth in love. If you truly care for that person, whatever you speak is really to build that person, to lead that person to Jesus Christ. The word of God has the power. You know what? The gospel is already offensive. So you don't have to be offensive in your style. Just preach the word, say the words, speak the gospel as it is, and it will do the work, because the word of God has the power. Romans 1:16, the gospel, I am not ashamed of gospel, because it has the power to save Jews and Gentiles, which means everyone. So we need to mightily, boldly proclaim the gospel itself to the Lord. But when you do that, you need to do with God's love for that person. Speak the truth in love. So let's sum all this up together. When you use your tongue, the fire from the Holy Spirit, there's a gentleness, there's a love, there's a rebuke in love, and there's a life change, and all these great things happen. And furthermore, it will be like a holy wild fire. It will multiply. Acts 12:24, it says the word of God advances. The gospel advances itself through the tongues of God's people. You know, the tongue from hell is also powerful. It can spread like wildfire. It can spread like crazy. But the word of God is also powerful, even more powerful. It can spread all around the world. And that is my prayer for you right now, that even when you are at home, you can still spread God's word through Facebook or YouTube or text and phone call or whatever you see. You can use it. You can use your tongue to spread His word, spread the gospel. That's what I'm doing here, even though I'm at home doing this YouTube. But I'm praying that this YouTube would be used by God to spread His word through all over the world so that more people would come to know Jesus Christ. So please pray for this channel, but not just for this channel, but for your life, for your witness, that God would use your tongue, little tongue, for His kingdom so that more people would be saved, more people would be built, more people would be edified, more people would be brought to His kingdom. How wonderful that would be. Amen? So let's pray together that God would transform our tongue. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, we praise You for Your grace and Your mercy. Father, we know the impact of tongue of hell, but we do not want to use that. We want to use the tongue from Your Holy Spirit so we can see the power of God would come out through our mouth, through our tongue, so that more people would come to know You, Lord. We thank You, praise You. In Jesus' holy name I prayed. Amen.